Well, hello, Knife Junkies, and welcome to episode number 153 of the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Jim Person.
And I'm Bob DeMarco. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. Coming up today, we've got a Rough Rider show. Bob's got a couple of more Rough Riders that came in, and I've got three to talk about. We're also going to be covering knife life news and more on this episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Well, hello again, Knife Junkies, and welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. As I said in the opening, number 153. Man, we're on our way to 200 and beyond here on the Knife Junkie
Podcast. That's right. Let's round up.
That's right. A lot of great stuff to talk about, as I teased in the intro there, seemingly like a Rough Rider show. You've got two more that you want to talk about, and I got three. That's in addition to last week's Rough Rider haul that you showed off, man. What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. But I was really excited to see that you on your own went out and decided to get three Rough Riders. I thought that was cool because when I was showing them off last week, you're like, these are up my alley. These are in my price range.
And Yeah.
But I think, you know, the value of these knives, as I've mentioned, not only are they really excellent in terms of their build and all that, and design, but it's allowed me to kind of get my current, slip joint, fixation kind of cycled through quickly. You know, I was able to, for the price of basically one GEC, get a whole bunch of Rough Riders, and it's kind of taken care of that, that urge, that impulse, you know, collectors can tend to be impulsive sometimes. So I have like six new slip joint knives for, you know, for relatively inexpensive price. I'm not looking around now, and that's settled. And now I can get back to selling off other knives and getting and deeper.
Well, I took your advice from the last podcast where we were talking about the price of Rough Riders, and I was like, you know, I could buy a whole lot of knives with that. And your point was, well, you can also try out something that you might not be initially drawn to. Because when I went to the Smoky Mountain Knife Works website to buy some, I was immediately drawn to the canoe style knife, you know, that little small knife. And I was like, I want to buy every one of them. Then I was like, I heard Bob in the back of my head saying, you know, they're so expensive. Try something new. So I tried to venture out a little bit, but we'll talk about that a little bit later coming up.
And we'll also be telling you, we're not just talking Rough Rider. We're also talking Great Eastern Cutlery. I mean, I'm not completely out of my traditional or slip joint phase here. And I got a new GEC off the secondary market this week. That is beautiful, but I'll show it to you later.
And probably not in my wheelhouse. It's not a little tiny knife either.
No. It's a gigantor.
That's right. So we'll see that. But as we teased in the opening, a lot of great stuff coming up. The state of the collection, obviously, we're going to talk a couple of stories in knife life news. But opening of the show, we cover some miscellaneous this and that kind of stuff. And definitely we try to use it as an opportunity to thank our patrons on the Knife Junkies Patreon, and a new patron has joined us this month, Bob.
That's right. Tyrone. I just want to give a shout out to Tyrone. Thank you so much for signing up and joining us and helping support the Knife Junkie Podcast. It's greatly appreciated. So here is your shout out, sir. T-Rael-1. That's what he goes by. So
say that again.
Great T-Rael-1. And it's great to have him. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Since we're talking about Patreon, I just want to mention the idea that was born out of the last Thursday Night Knives to have.
I was going to talk about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. Wouldn't be the first time. But anyway, so we're going to be having the next knife sale that I do when I'm going to be, I'm doing some further curating and cultivating of the collection. And as I decide to move some knives along so that I can acquire new ones, the next sale will be on Patreon. And that was a suggestion I think Ryan, Spirited Blades, brought up, I think. But a lot of people concurred in the comments. A lot of viewers were excited about that idea. So we're going to do that next time.
I think it was actually brought up by someone in the comments about doing a knife sale. for patrons, and then several other folks commented, and you know, it was I saw that too, and I was kind of like, well, that would be kind of interesting, but how do you do that? I mean, is it patrons get, in other words, the exclusive access or the early access to the knives if they want to purchase them? So
yeah, I think it'd be great. That's what we would do: make a video, put it up there for the patrons, and I know a lot of other people do that, but now that we have a little head of steam, a little bit of an audience there, it's a good place to do it. And plus, it's another way to say thank you. So
yeah,
early access to the knives I'm selling.
All right. Well, that's one of the new perks coming for the Knife Junkies Patreon group. But of course, a current perk, if you are at the $10 a month subscription level for the Knife Junkies podcast, is be entered into the knife drawing giveaway every month. It's a monthly knife drawing giveaway. And our next one is next Thursday, October 15th. So still plenty of time for you to get in at the $10 a month level and try to beat out Caleb, who has some wonderful luck.
Yeah, he does. He does. Should I go grab the knife real quick? It's a foot away from me, and show it off, what we're going to be giving away.
I would love for you to do that.
Give me a sec.
All right. Well, Bob goes and gets that knife we're going to give away. I do want to say that you can join the Knife Junkies Patreon group if we just go to thenifejunkie.com/Patreon, thenifejunkie.com/Patreon. That's where you'll find all the details about the Knife Junkies Patreon group and how you can become a patron at any of the three different levels. Whoa, Bob, calm down. What are you
So we will be giving away this absolutely fantastic and ridiculous Topps knife push dagger. It's called the Eye Stick, which I think is funny, because to me it's kind of a play on the eye, everything, iPhone, iPad, all that. But it's also a eye stick. It's kind of funny. Yeah, you can stick something with this. So this is a hefty, giant, beautiful push dagger called the Eye Stick from Topps Knives. Comes in a really cool sheath, and it was donated by our good friend Stu up in Vermont, Stone and Steel. And it comes in this plastic bag. Now, Topps Knives have always kind of come in these tactical plastic bags. Until recently, I think they've started with the boxes. But so you'll be getting that if you win the Patreon giveaway. It's a really cool knife. It'd be awesome to have in your collection.
Okay. Well, again, that's Thursday, October 15th. We do the monthly knife drawing the third Thursday of every month on Thursday Night Knives. That's the Knife Junkies live video show that you can see on YouTube, thenifejunkie.com/YouTube, as well as the Knife Junkies Facebook group at thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. Just a great opportunity to hear the Knife Junkie go on about stuff, knives, show off stuff, but also have you come on and join the show and show off some of your knives, talk about that, get into a discussion, ask questions, comments, and just be part of the Knife Junkies community and meet and talk with other folks, Bob. That's one of the really great things about the show.
Yeah, that show gives me energy. It literally gives me energy. And I don't often use the word literal. Or literally, but you know, it comes at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a work day, you know, and at that point, I've had a full day of work. I've come home, I've cooked dinner, I've like hung out with the kids and the family. And then by the time 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock rolls around, I'm like, oh gosh, the show's coming. I'm tired, man. I'm beat. And then maybe I'll play a little bass or listen to some music or whatever I do. And it gets me up enough, and then you and I get on there, and I see the graphic, and then it turns on. It's like, yes, I love that show. I love Thursday Night Knives. People seem to like it too. So check it out. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, come on the show. I'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
And there's not, you know, you come on for a few minutes and dip out. You don't have to feel obligated to be on and for a long time or anything like that.
Well, if you want to go to the knifejunkie.com/Thursday, thenifejunkie.com/Thursday. We've got a archived replay section. So in case you missed any of the shows or are new to the Knife Junkies channel and you want to see what we're talking about Thursday Night Knives, you can check some of the past episodes out there and then see how great it is. And there's actually an Eventbrite little system right there on Thursday Night Knives webpage, thenifejunkie.com/Thursday. I know a lot of folks come in and say, oh, I missed it again. You know, I'm sorry I'm late. Well, go to theknifejunkie.com/Thursday. You can sign up for the Eventbrite subscription, which is free. But the nice thing about that is it gives you like a notification so you don't miss a show. So yeah. Sign up for that. Yeah. All right. Great interview that you had this past Sunday with Curtis Iovito with Spartan Blades, and got a little something special too. You want to show off?
I do. Afterward, he said, you know, I was talking about how much I adore my Spartan Harzy folder, which is SHF, which also sounds like, you know, shit hits the fan. It's kind of like the knife you want when that happens, right? He says, put it in a box and send it to me and send me a graphic, a file of your logo. And I did, and check it out. He had this engraved in my handle, the Knife Junkie. How cool is that? What a class act. I mean, and then also on the spacer. But thank you, Curtis. I'm sure he's not watching or listening, but if indeed he is, thank you so much. What a great and what a nice gift. What a nice thing to do for me. So I very much appreciate that. And what a cool interview, man. I really appreciated his time. And but just hearing about the whole Spartan story, working with Bill Harzy and all that. What a great guy.
Well, like I said, right after that interview we did with him, it was kind of, you know, special or meaningful to me, since I was born and raised and grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, you know, the home of Fort Bragg and Pope Air Force Base. And he and his co-founder, of course, were in the military and
special
formed and began their shop in, I believe, Aberdeen, which is not too far from Pope and Fort Bragg, and now are in Southern Pines, I believe, or Spring Lakes, one or the other, but all still right around the Fort Bragg Pope Air Force Base. So, it was just kind of neat being a Tar Heel boy.
Yeah, close to your heart, close to your heart. Yeah. Well, I think that means only one thing, Jim. And I think that
buy
is
one of their knives, right?
hey, let's go right into knife life news, because this knife that they just came out with, Jim, is so for you. Can we bring it up? It's the new Spartan Harzy 3.25.
Well, let's go into knife life news.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life news.
I have all these wonderful little graphics, Bob, and you won't let me use them.
Oh, that was a dude. That was a toss to your graphic. I thought we were
okay. All right, let's do it.
So I was just waxing poetic and lovey-dovey about my Spartan Harzy folder. It is a 4-inch bladed knife and might be too large for some people. And well, not might, was, and they got a lot of feedback. I love that knife. I love the design. I love everything about it. I love Spartan. I love Harzy. The folder's just too big. They listened, and being a great company and a nimble company who cares about their customers, they came out with a 3.25 inch version of this knife. Now, this is not that knife. This is the 4-inch version. But 3.25 is the size, is the EDC size, I feel like. So many great EDC knives are in that category, that length, 3.125, because 3.25, I'm sorry, 3 1/4, because it's a little bit bigger than 3 and a little bit smaller than 3.5. And we know that 3.5 is a big folder and 3 is a small folder. So it's the perfect size, Jim. I think you need to get this. It's the same thing, titanium body, S35VN blade steel. But if you look at it, they didn't just shrink it down. They didn't just put it in CAD and say, let's decrease it by whatever percentage. And my father probably knows exactly what that percentage is. But let's redesign it so that it fits a hand. You know, because if you take something that's this big, 5-inch handle, and shrink it down into a 4-inch handle or so, and keep everything, all the ratios the same, it's not going to fit your hand right. So when you shrink down a design, you have to redesign the handle. And they did a beautiful job of it, it looks like. And if you look at the horn, like, or the sort of butt end of it, they rounded it out. And made it a little bit different from the, here, let me put this piece of paper there. See how it's kind of squared off right at the, right near the clip. So they rounded that out, which makes sense for a smaller handle. It's going to nestle into your, closer to your digits that way and closer to the edge of your hand that way. And, just having it rounded out. So in other words, all I'm trying to say is they took special consideration for the ergonomics of this knife. They didn't just shrink it down by a percentage. And I think that's great. Other companies do that, you know, and like Spyderco does that. And, you know, other companies do that. It's not the first time, but I like seeing that because I feel like I've been burned before. I picked up a smaller version of a knife and I'm like, why are these things pointing in my fingers? They're not giant sausage fingers. And I realized, oh, they just shrunk the handle.
Well, that would, you know, not knowing how to make a knife or not really knowing mathematics, geometry, those type of things. My first assumption is you've got something that's big, this big, just kind of shrink it overall, everything down and make it this big and it would work. But that's a great point that you bring up.
Your fingers don't shrink along with the design.
That's true. And I also like your point about the rounded edge over there, because that was really a great visual once you showed your knife. And then we go back and see the picture there. So yeah, good point about that. So interesting. Yeah. What's next up in Knife Life News, Bob?
So Jonathan McNeese, a custom knife maker, you know him perhaps for what is it called? The McBee from Spyderco. My gosh. I'm sorry. I just had a little brain freeze there, but the McBee, it's this little tiny sub 2-inch Warncliffe that was a big hit with Spyderco. And his knives are much sought after and quite expensive. And like other savvy makers out there, he is he's going and expanding his production by dipping his feet into the mid-tech realm. So his new line of knives is called Performance Machined Line. So these are knives that are parts are cut out elsewhere and comes to him. He does all the finishing work. And so basically, he's still got a lot of hands on the knife, on the knives that he's going to be releasing, but they're going to be for a lot less money. It's the mid-tech model. I don't know why I'm spending all this time explaining it. You know what I'm talking about. But it's a cool bit of news because he's got a variety of knives, and people who have not been able to get into his knives in terms of money can now buy them. So he's got this one up here on Knife News that just knocks me out. I love the look of that thing. It's a little two finger styled ring, hawk-billed, karambity, neck knifey kind of thing. I mean, to me, Jim, that should live behind my work ID. It looks small, discreet. It's double-edged, chiseled ground, and you know, it's all business, like bad business. But then he has a bunch of other designs too. I mean, he's got this Mac 2. Which is a really refined looking folder. It's a clip point, which, you know, I love clip points. It's got a very broad blade with a saber grind and a very neutral, good looking handle, a 3 1/4 inch blade. They're going to come out with a 3 1/2 inch bladed version of that. And I just think it's great. I love it. I love it when designers do this. They make their stuff more available, but it's not just a collaboration with Spyderco, for instance. And I'm not belittling that. That's awesome. But he's taking the reins more and doing it himself and making it his own effort. The McNeese Custom Knives Performance Machine Line. How cool is that? Look at that. That big broad clip blade. And if you're listening, just take my word for it. It is broad. I don't know, Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the look of that knife. Going back to the what was the first one we brought up that you said could fit behind your badge, kind of a neck knife. Seems like it might be a little too big to fit behind there. Maybe I didn't read the measurements, perhaps.
Oh well, just looking at the finger holes, it looks like it's probably discreet enough. It reminds me a little bit of the Bastinelli Diagnostic, except you know, it's different, obviously, but. It looks like it's in that same sort of size. I was surprised to see that design because up until now, being totally honest, I'm not familiar with his knives. And up until now, I was really only familiar with the McBee, which is such a tiny little stylish, you know, Spyderco folder. And then when I saw this and the other, the Mac 2, I was surprised to see how varied his designs are. I was thinking, oh, this is a guy who makes these... That little McBee is based on a custom knife he makes called the Killer Bee. And it's just this tiny little Warncliffe. And then to see this beastly little double-edged thing, and then that that nice big clip point folder. It was just kind of interesting to see the range of designs he's putting out.
Well, that's what we try to do here on Knife Life News each week on the midweek supplemental podcast is give you a chance to see some of the new product drops and learn about what's going on in the knife world. And of course, our thanks to Knife News for letting us share their stories and often share their pictures and that type of thing as we bring those stories to you. And, you know, if you have any thoughts or comments or anything about any of those knives or stories in the news, we would love to hear from you. Call the listener line at 724-466-4487, 724-466-4487, or email Bob at bob@thenifejunkie.com. And I could tell you had another little comment or something you wanted to add, Bob.
I just, you were talking about knife news, and I just have to, I say this every once in a while, Benjamin Schwartz, the guy over there, and he writes all the articles. His writing is so good. He's funny, man. He's funny too. I mean, you know, he can write for a full page about a knife and do it with panache and you leave knowing everything you need to know about it, but he's done it in an entertaining and interesting way. He's funny. I like him.
Well, you know, probably a lot of people could write a page or more about knives.
Oh, manaja. I walked right into that. Oh, God.
But not,
okay.
Not with,
newsletter's
not with
coming.
The, not with the panache. Oh, I wasn't even going to think about newsletter, but you mentioned it. You brought it up.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. My own guilt just impugned me right here. Oh, geez.
Yeah. If you're a regular listener of the Knife Junkie podcast and a subscriber to the Knife Junkie's newsletter, you've probably wondered, gosh, you guys have had some technical difficulty with your email delivery platform. I think we just learned what the difficulty was. No, but teasing Bob. He has been busy. I did want to compliment you, and I forgot we should have had a graphic or thrown something up on the screen. Your most recent article for Knives Illustrated.
Knives Illustrated. Yeah. Oh, man. I really like writing those articles for Knives Illustrated. I've done three so far. This last one is on Emerson Knives and kind of the history of the company and the history of Ernest Emerson. And I'm so grateful for Brian Slicey Dicey on YouTube for inviting me to write on for that magazine because each time I've written three times, I've had a great experience because it's not just sitting down and writing. It's going out and doing something. And then, or doing research or bringing together, you know, a bunch of different facts and then going out, testing them out and then taking pictures and the whole nine yards, right. Writing things up, kind of refining your thoughts on it. So anyway, I don't mean to go on and bloviate here. You can go read my bloviations over at Knives Illustrated.
Yeah. So congratulations. Kudos for that. We certainly do, appreciate, being able to rub elbows now with a, podcaster, videographer, author, writer. We thank you, Mr. Knife Junkie.
Oh me. I thought you were talking about Slicey.
Yeah. Hey, one thing before we leave Knife Life News, there was another little story you wanted to cover, and you mentioned Emerson Knives, something about Emerson Knives, something going on there?
Yes. I was on Instagram, and he put up a cool picture of him holding up a blank for the new Bull Shark, his automatic knife. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then you see all the cutouts behind, you know, where they cut out all the blanks and stuff. And then you can see the handles in the back or the liners. But then you read it and, he's really hacked in this post, because people have been saying, Kershaw is manufacturing this because when you look at it, it has many of the design cues from his automatic that he did with them as a collaboration. It was the Launch 5, the clip point, very cool clip point automatic knife. And, you know, it's got a similar button, the concentric circles with the red. But people were saying that it was manufactured by Kershaw. As a matter of fact, on Thursday Night Knives, some people in the comment surmised that in the comments. And I was like, oh yeah, I see the similarity there, and you know, with the aluminum and that button, and even if it were the case that he was having them manufactured by Kershaw, which it isn't, this guy's been doing this for 40 years. He's got his own manufacturing facility. He's got all the know-how of 40 years. He doesn't need to farm out his work. But even if he were, and it wasn't a Kershaw-labeled collaboration, I would have no issue with that whatsoever. Because to me, that's the water we're swimming in these days. We have collaborations all over the place, people doing work for other people. And I think to me, it would have been totally acceptable. But when I saw this, I was like, oh man, I could see how someone in his position, someone who's busted his behind for 40 years to be where he is. And then people kind of go off at the mouth or loose talk and suggest that Kershaw's making it. And I have to admit, I was part of that loose talk the other night. I could see how that would really stick in your craw. I hope that nothing I said the other night would, not that he watches our show, but you know, I wouldn't want the impression to be taken that I was dissing in any way. I mean, like if someone came back and said, yeah, Kershaw made it, I'd be like, awesome. Can't wait to get one. That being said, I can't wait to get one anyway, one of these. But I also look forward to, I have a feeling he's going to be going bigger and he's going to be making more. I mean, I think that this is a proof of concept knife, and he made it a California legal because obviously that makes it the most acceptable around this country and the most accessible, you know, to people in different jurisdictions, but especially in his home state of California. Maybe he wants to carry the knife he's making. But, you know, knowing Emerson knives and their usual 4-inch size or so, I can't wait to see what he does when he goes, larger with them, presuming he does. But in any case, I just wanted to mention that because when I saw that post on Instagram, I scrolled by it and I kept feeling a little pang. I was like, I was a part of one of those conversations.
Right.
I'm sure the conversation is broad and wide, but you know, I just felt like I wanted to say something about it because
it was not anything to impugn.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
not at all.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling he's not referring to us, but we were part of that conversation. So I thought it was something to bring up.
Right.
But anyway, well, check it out. It does look like a bull shark, by the way.
Well, I felt I kind of highlighted some of the Instagram posts there, some of the wording. But, you know, he was kind of passionate and saying, I'm going to look off screen here, you know, if something about, you know, marketing department pleaded with him not to make this post. But, he's owned the Emerson Knife Company for years, like you said. And for if you were one of the ones who doubted my word or thought that I was deceiving you, I do not want you to buy another Emerson knife again ever. Mm. So,
yes, I forgot to
very, very passionate, and I can understand, right. Very passionate about his company and his knives and what they are turning out.
Yeah. Now I forgot about that. The whole deception thing, like it wouldn't have even occurred to me to see that as an issue of he's deceiving me, you know, like, well, in my case, I was just looking at the button thinking, yeah, it looks like the same button on the launch, but he designed the damn knife. So of course, you know, it's not outside the realm. But in any case, no one can tell me what to do with my money, and I will continue to buy Emerson knives.
Right.
But Ernie Emerson, we love you and value your work.
Have no doubt that you'll buy many, many, many more Emersons as much as you love them, and couldn't wait to talk to him on one of our earlier podcasts. Just go to thenifejunkie.com or just use your favorite search engine, knifejunkie.com, or just search the Knife Junkie podcast, Ernest Emerson, and you'll find almost a 2-hour episode with Mr. Emerson. And I certainly do thank him for his time doing that.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
All right, Bob, our favorite time. I know your favorite time, at least perhaps, on the midweek supplemental. That's State of the Collection time, where you get to show off knives and talk about some of the new knives in your collection. But this week, also State of the Collection for Jim.
That's right.
I've got a few knives.
Well, let's start with you, Jim. So you've gotten a few new things, and I want you to go wide on yourself. I'm directing now since you're talking about
it. Do I have to?
So I want you to go wide on yourself. I want you to hold everything up to the camera. Tell us what you got.
Okay. Well, I'm going to first talk about the Rough Rider Knives Blue Streak Frame Lock. And before I take you off screen, and if you're listening to this on our podcast, you won't be able to see everything, but you can try to visualize it. Bob, this is one I bought, well, for two reasons. It was only $6.99, which is just incredible to me. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, I bought it because, as you had mentioned last week, Rough Riders are such an inexpensive price point. Buy some things that you don't think you like, or that, you know, you haven't ever carried. Give it a try, see what you like. So this is one that I bought for that very reason.
Ooh,
and it's blue.
And it's blue.
And it's blue. All right. So let me pull the package out here. First of all, little Rough Rider box that came in. Came inside the box in a little plastic baggie, if you will. And the only reason I mention that is because the next couple of knives, I'll show you the difference and what I'm talking about there. So as you can see, appropriately named Blue Streak. And everybody knows I have a thing for blue. Now, I'll be honest, this was not a... I was between this one and another one that I was looking at when I bought it. And this one was, it was not my favorite. I'll just put it that way. I wanted to get the other blue knife, but I thought, you know, I'm listening to Bob. This is probably not a knife I would have bought for myself or, you know, be that terribly interested in. But again, for $6.99, I couldn't pass it up. I just had to give it a try.
So, okay. I want you to use the flipper to open it because we need to find out about the action. Is it assisted or is it on washers? How does it flip?
Well, I don't have any idea what it's on.
Oh, there you go. Well, okay. Did it feel like when you pressed the flipper at a certain point, something else took over, a magical power that threw it open?
It did open very easily, yes.
Okay, so I think it's probably spring assisted. We can of course look that up. Spring assisted. You've got a steel frame lock there, and a sort of slightly beg reminiscent blade with the holes. That's all I'm getting at. And the fuller. That's pretty cool. I like that fuller, man.
And the fuller is
that is the groove in the blade. You see the groove in the blade there? Flip it over on the other side.
Let me look at it.
see that that channel milled into the blade there with the holes in it?
Yeah.
That's the fuller. It only appears to be on the show side, though. The side that's facing you. There's like a groove cut out. That is that's kind of a signature of Todd Begg knives.
Okay.
And I love the groove part of it, and I hate the holes part of it. Same thing in the Begg knives. Not that I have one to hate, but in the design, I always think like stuff's gonna get in there and you have to like take a toothpick and that would be if I used my knives for anything. So
I hear you. Yeah. All right. Well, I didn't want to spend much time on that one, but I did want to show it off because, like I said, $7. I mean, good lord.
So I'm interested in the Blue Mule.
Well, funny you should mention that. That one is next. Excellent. And it came in the Blue Mule box. But this one was actually came in the box wrapped in this branded like craft wrapping paper.
Yeah, that's a very traditional touch.
You know, not an expensive item that you have to do to package your stuff, but it was I just thought a classy touch, especially pull you back on here for a $9.99 knife, you know, just to have, you know, little box, a branded box, the Blue Mule box, the craft paper, and then of course my favorite blue knife.
I love the canoe.
I do too.
The pattern.
Yeah.
So can you open up both blades and show it that way?
I probably can, but I'll be honest, it is very stiff and very very tight.
Okay.
I haven't opened it since I got it.
So just one blade is fine. Yeah. But so that's the pull. how hard it is to pull out.
It's very hard to pull out. Yeah. Yeah.
So and on a rating from 1 to 10, 10 being breaking your thumbnail, what would you, and 1 being like no spring at all, what would you call that?
Well, I've always had trouble opening things with my thumbnails. So I'll be honest, I'm struggling getting the second little blade open with my thumbnail, and the first one was very tight. So I would give it a 9, close to a 10.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's
all right. So you should look for it. They have these little things that you can help pry your knives open with, you know, because it won't always be that stiff. It will eventually,
right.
Over time, you know, but I mean, it'll always have a hard pull. It's not like it's going to break in like a modern knife will, but it will be. God, that's beautiful. That's G10 there, that blue G10.
Yeah, nice. I loved it. Saw it and immediately I was like, well, I got to put that one in the cart.
Nice.
And I got 3 knives, 2 of which you've seen. And, you know, the first one we talked about was, $6.99. That one was $9.99. And the next one that we're going to talk about is the brown Stagbone Trapper I got. And I really broke the bank on this one, Bob. $14.99.
Dude.
I know.
I hope you didn't tell
the wife. And I brought the package in very quickly so that she didn't see that I got them. But I definitely am going to go wide on this because I got to show you $15. And I opened up the USPS Priority Mail shipping envelope. And I felt something kind of big, and then there was a couple of loose things or small things roaming around, and those were the Blue Mule and the other one. But then I opened up the bag, and I saw this box, just incredible packaging, and I never can figure out how to open it. It's got this little side here,
magnetic.
Open it, magnetic, yeah, which is awesome. Open it up, you see the Rough Rider packaging, and then the knife. In the box, in this hard, stiff foam type material. I mean, you know, the packaging alone, just really blew me away. For like I said, for $15.
I have one in the same series. This little mini cotton sampler that I got. I think that's the same thing. They do a nice, you know, so like mine is supposed to look like stag, you know, the horn of a stag or the antler, but that's expensive. So this is cow shin bone that's been sculpted and burned to look like stag. And look at yours. Wow, go wide on you. Let's see.
Yeah, the stag bone trapper. And again, you know, this was a style of knife that you know, had not bought, obviously, or had any of.
So the trapper is the number one selling model of case knives. They sell trappers more than anything, apparently. And they are incredibly useful. You have 2 full-size blades there. You have a clip point blade and a spay blade. And yes, spay refers to castrating animals. It's a blade that is very, very sharp, long, but has a sort of blunted tip, so you don't cut anything you don't intend to cut. And when you're doing that job, you want to make sure you're not cutting what you don't want to cut.
Right.
Beautiful. And you got the double pulls there, which to me, design-wise, I've never cared for, but they do that on their more premium productions there. So you see the pull, the nail nick down towards the bottom, and then the down towards the tip of the blade, and then along the flat spine part of the blade, there's a long pull. So nail nick and a long pull on the same blade. A little busy to me, but, you know, not a deal breaker.
Well, like I said, you know, last week when you were talking, you know, about buying some knives that you don't think you may like or whatever. This style, the trapper, as you call it, you know, a little longer. I mean, and it's tight, you know, a little longer than my canoe type knife that I like to carry, and style of blade or whatever. But, you know, the stag handle, had to get it for $15.
I got to say, it's just nice to look at. I love the bone handles, and you know, so congratulations on that haul, man. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice.
You know, I was just, impressed, blown away for $15 that it came in a nice box and packaging. And given your tip of the week last week, definitely keeping the boxes, keeping all the packing material, keeping everything like that.
So you're talking about packaging. This is a great segue into the knife I'm going to talk about, because you're talking about that beautiful box. I just got a traditional this past week on the secondary market from a great guy on Blade Forums, as usual. I go there a lot, even that shows my age, I guess. But so look at this. This is the Great Eastern Cutlery number 97 in Titiute trim. That's there. They have three different lines that Great Eastern Cutlery makes, and they're basically tiers. There's the Farm and Tool. And those are like the Sod Buster and the very canvas handle knives that are less expensive. And then they have the the Great Eastern Cutlery, and then they have Titiute. And Titiute is their higher end trim. Anyway, this is the number 97 Allegheny knife, and it's a Coke bottle hunter. That's what this is. It's a Coke bottle hunter. And if you see, it's shaped, you know, kind of like a Coke bottle. If you're old enough to remember what a Coke bottle looks like.
I didn't get it until about the third or fourth time you said Coke bottle. And I finally saw the shape, and I finally realized, and I was like, yeah, that does kind of look like a Coke bottle. So I just wanted to pop in and say that.
Oh, cool. Well, I was watching a video on this style of knife by a guy on YouTube, Tobias. I can't remember his full name, but I'll mention him next time, because he does a lot of traditional knife reviews, and he's got he's a wealth of knowledge, and he's talking about the shape of this and how that there's that hump kind of on the back. See how it comes up, the swell on the back? That's to accommodate the spring. The spring around the pin has to be wider, fatter to accommodate the pin. And when you do that on a flat back knife, that extra bit of material for the spring is coming up into the well where the blade rests, which doesn't allow you to have, forces you into a more narrow blade design. But if you put that hump, that extra material for the spring around the pin on the back of the knife and have it flat on the inside of the knife, then you can have a much wider, broader blade. And that's what you get in this Allegheny. If you look at it, it almost has a recurve. Or not almost, it does have a recurve, but I think it's not there for the, I think it's there so that you sharpen through it over the years and it will become straight. It doesn't feel like it's intentionally there for cutting power, but I could be totally wrong. It's got that beautiful long pull and machine ground swedge there. It's got an etch that will be gone shortly. I want this to patina. So last night I started eating apples with it. That's my preferred method. I know people might think that that's cheap, but food, I think, is the best way. Meat and fruit to patina 1095 blade. But handle material, this is my favorite from Great Eastern Cutlery. It's that autumn jig bone. It's just so beautiful. I have a number of knives now from them, four knives in that handle material. And it's got a little bit of red, a little bit of yellow, you know, that brown. It's just gorgeous. And the jigging. And you were mentioning... you were talking about the box from that Rough Rider, and they send them in tubes. Great Eastern Cutlery has tubes and with really cool art on them. And they're very old timey. They're really old timey. And then when you pop it, this has been opened many times. I just pulled apart. So when you take the top off, first of all, they always put what it is, autumn gold jig bone. And then 97 is the model. One is the blade style. What they have, the clip point as their number one blade. The next one is one blade in the handle, and then the 19 is the year of manufacture. Cool little bit of knowledge to have on your knife. And then when you look in there, you got paper too, Jim. You got that wax paper, and it's just such an, and there was a button with this one. Sometimes, I think with the pattern production pattern premieres, they send buttons, but you get it rolled up in this nice old wax paper. And it just is a cool experience. You get this, you open it up. How many times have I said cool in this podcast? I'm sorry. I'm going to start saying outstandingly excellent. You open these things up, you get this heavy little bit of paper. You have the experience of unwrapping it and unfolding it. And then this beautiful knife comes out. I love that. I prefer that to say the foam or to, the plastic bag, which most people send it in, a box in a plastic bag. Ultimately, that's all I really am interested in is the knife. But you see this and you just think they went the extra mile.
Well, and it doesn't take much to give that extra little experience, because I always remember the phrase, perception is reality. Mm-hmm. So if the first thing you get is a knife in a plastic bag, you're like, but if you get a package like this, you know, $15 knife, or even in a small box that has, like you said, the wax paper, the craft paper, the branded paper, it's in a nice presentation. You're already more excited about that knife, regardless of what price you paid for it, $15 or $1,500. And yeah, it doesn't take that much. And it's not that expensive for a knife maker or manufacturer to make that extra little presentation value.
Exactly. And it shows you care. It shows you care. Then again, yeah, you know, you can also spend all your time on the knife and then be, you know, Tops sends them in plastic bags. And I'm like, I'm fine with that too. Cause what at the end of the day, I don't care much about the box, but it, like you said, it's the experience. And, since we're talking about Rough Riders and GECs, kind of two opposite ends of the spectrum, I just, I have to mention that there are differences. You know, I mean, there are differences in quality and fit and finish. You spend $100 on a knife, and you know, if there aren't differences in fit and finish and quality, then you've been taken. There is. I would have to show some minor things, the way the fitment, the way the different bones line up and stuff, the different materials line up.
And which knife is which?
Well, it's hard to say, right? This is the Rough Rider and this is the GEC. And really, unless you have them in hand, well, not necessarily. You can maybe see little differences here. My point is, I don't know what my point is. My point is I love them both, but I encourage people to try out as many as they can, you know, with the Rough Riders. But I also encourage people to remember that these, the Great Eastern Cutleries and some of the cases are really worth the extra money. And it's kind of not intangible. It's difficult to enumerate why, you know, but it's a quality thing and you can feel it. So
kind of hard to put into words is what you're saying.
It is. I just want to say, you know, Bill Howard and Great Eastern Cutlery, who are toiling away in Pennsylvania on 100-year-old machines making these, right, you can feel it. There's a soul to these that is maybe not a different thing with this. You know what
gotcha.
I'm saying?
Gotcha. Yeah. Right. Okay. So Bob had a couple of new Rough Riders in this week. I had some new Rough Riders in this week. Do you think that's going to be the kind of the maybe the end or the slowdown for you for Rough Rider?
For slip joints in general, I feel like I've kind of crested that impulse. And, so now I have a couple of fixed blades I want to move along, because I did commit to a custom fixed blade earlier in the summer that I'm waiting for from, Black Rock Knives. Check out Black Rock Knives on Instagram. His work is really cool. I said it again. His work is really accomplished and good looking and menacing. There, a little more articulate.
But definitely not cool.
they are cool too. So yeah, I committed to a monkey thumper. It's a ringed, you know, before I talk to Ed Calderon, it's a ringed knife, with a double edged blade. It's cool.
For thumping monkeys.
Yes, for thumping monkeys. And then there are a couple of other things. I would like to get the Spartan Harzy dagger. I mean, I really would like to get that. So I have a feeling I might sell my Topps dagger and a couple of other things to fund that. Because right now, I think maybe we're a one dagger household. I'm not sure.
Interesting. Well, of course, that's a good reason for you to join the Knife Junkies Patreon group. KnifeJunkie.com/Patreon, KnifeJunkie.com/Patreon, because as Bob noted at the beginning of the show, last Thursday Night Knives, the topic came up about, why don't you sell some knives, you know, privately to your patrons? Maybe do it kind of as a perk of membership. So Bob talked about at the top of the show that, he's going to kind of start doing that. So maybe if a Topps knife or some of these other things go on the chopping block for Bob, patrons will get early access to that. And if they are not scooped up by members of the Patreon group, then maybe you'll have a chance publicly to do it. But you can go to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon, theknifejunkie.com/Patreon, and get in on the early knife sales, as well as the monthly drawings for a knife giveaway and early access and bonus access to content and all that kind of good stuff. All right, Bob, you know, since we have started doing this show on video, which I'm getting more and more comfortable with, I'm not saying I'm fully 100% comfortable being on video, but I noticed our time gets longer and longer. We seem to talk more and more. But there are a couple of things we do want to mention before we wrap up. Coming up this Sunday on episode number 154, I believe, of the Knife Junkie podcast, you have a chance to talk with Justin Cotton of Asher Knives. And I'm going to use the word cool. That was a really cool and fun interview, I think, with Justin.
Yeah, it was a great interview. And Justin is a great guy. And he's like many of us. He's just a man out there with his family, living his life, you know, working his job, who loves knives and decided, I'm going to start my own knife company. And boom. And not boom, like it was no effort. I mean, he outlines and details the effort and expense of doing that. But, you know, if not now, when? And right. It was a very good conversation. And one of our viewers, Tier One, another Justin, was kind enough to send me two Asher Knives folders and a fixed blade to check out. So it was great to have that and have them in hand when we were doing the interview. So yeah, definitely check that out.
Yeah, that'll be coming up this Sunday, October 11th. The podcast shows normally go live sometime early to mid-afternoon on Sundays. Patreon members get early access to the interviews on Friday. So patrons, you'll have that coming out in the next couple of days. And then, like I said, going publicly on Sunday, sometime early to mid-afternoon. You can find it on the knifejunkie.com website, as well as on YouTube. And, of course, if you're listening via audio, your favorite podcast player apps. Thursday Night Knives, again, hope you'll join us 10 p.m. Thursday night on the Knife Junkie's YouTube channel, theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Lately, Bob, you've been going in-depth with topic shows and kind of talking, you know, kind of topic things. I thought last week's was kind of interesting. If not knives, what would you collect?
Yeah,
and I love the folks that would collect whiskey. And I was thinking, does that mean you collect it and drink it, which I would be all for? Or does that mean you just collect it and put it on a shelf and look at it? Because I'm not down with that.
I think it's both. I think okay. Like all collections, there are safe queens. I'm sure there's like, oh, I only drink that bourbon when my brother comes over. Or I only drink that bourbon, you know, on special occasions.
Gotcha. All right.
Like a Tuesday night.
Okay, Tuesday night. I was thinking any day that ends with the words D-A-Y is probably a good day to drink.
I would agree. But anyway.
Hey, wrapping it up here on the Knife Junkie podcast, final thought, anything we haven't covered, anything you want to?
Oh, God, Jim, we've been an hour on this supplemental. I think I've said everything for this day. But, well, everybody, thanks for watching and keep a cool head.
Oh, you had to go with cool, didn't you? You
haven't said that enough. Yes. Yes, don't be a
Bob's
hothead.
Word of the day. Cool. Yeah. I like to spell it K-E-W-U-L just to be cool when I do it.
Yeah, exactly. Cool in the game.
That's right. All right. Hey, everybody, truly do really thank you for joining us here on the Knife Junkie podcast, episode number 153. For Mr. Knife Junkie himself, Bob DeMarco, I'm the knife newbie over here, Jim Person. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487. And you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.